Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me. Merry Christmas to everyone. We're heading up to a Happy New Year now, coming up at the end of this week, my favorite time of year. You're going to hear today, we're just playing in one part here today, my sermon from Christmas Eve. It's entitled King Jesus. And what a great time it was for me as a preacher, because I love it when these things happen, when God intervenes in my sermon and has me do something else. And that's exactly what's happened here this Christmas Eve. I was going to just not really preach a sermon. I was going to read the Christmas story for my portion of the service. And God had other things in mind. And the other things in mind are what you are going to hear now. So forgive me for the bad sound at the end of it there, but the sound was pretty good throughout. And King Jesus, he certainly is awesome King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we stop and remember here this Christmas that we should always be in our hearts. But we stop and remember here this Christmas, the birth of the Messiah. And more importantly to him, as he's shared with me before, as the Lord has shared with me before, he's not so much concerned about Christmas. He's more concerned that we are concerned about his return and his second coming. Here is this message now, King Jesus.
Probably one of the greatest joys of being a pastor is you never know what God is going to do next. You kind of got to be one to understand it. Darren can understand it. And this was my sermon here for today. My wife even had a slide. It's called The Christmas Story. So that we'll put down yonder. And oh boy is right, here it is, Christmas Eve, 11 o'clock, and God says to me, son, I want you to preach your handout. So I said, okay, that's fine with me. So does everyone have a handout? Actually, it's a two-sided handout. Now there's another mystery, why I included that other song in that handout, Lord only knows why. I don't have the answer to that. But there's a great old song that's never sung anymore in there. It's called What a Savior. On some handouts, it's on the back side, but our printer doesn't like printing double-sided. But it's the front side I want to talk about, and I want to preach with you. I was just going to preach, talk. You know, you guys know me better. That you're not going to have me get up here and read to you a story. Darren, I think it's time for some preaching. I don't read stories. I preach. And this church pays to hire me to hear from God and expects me to. That's why today's sermon is on the ground. And what you're going to hear is talking a little bit about this handout. That's what I want to do. God said through the Old Testament prophet Amos, it says, for the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. Look at all the prophets. Look at all that the prophets have spoken about concerning the world's Messiah. Not just the Christian Messiah. He's the world's Messiah. There is no other Messiah. There's one. You either accept him and receive him, or you deny him. But there's not two. There might be a million false messiahs, right, Mike? But there's only one real one. His name is Jesus. So I want to look here. I got a list here. You see it. There's 14 different things here. Let me read this first one to you. It is the Old Testament prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. Now keep in mind, This was written 700 years before Jesus Christ. Micah said this. It says, but you actually, God said this to Micah. You, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you, that's a little town of Bethlehem, out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, even from eternity. So God says, you'll know the Messiah when he has no beginning. That's how you'll know it's him. He's from eternity past. There is no point. Just like John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You can't point to when he started, because he's always existed. Micah wrote this 700 years. And this is in the Greek Old Testament. It's 250 years B.C. in the Library of Alexandria. For the scoffers that think Christians added that later, 250 B.C., it's written down that you'll know the Messiah when he comes out of Bethlehem and his beginnings are from time everlasting. That's how you'll know it's him. Imagine that. 700 years before. So let me go through some here on this list. Then we're going to continue with our music here today. 14 things written about someone before he was born. Number 2, he was to be of the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49, verse 10. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. But I also wrote down Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. John in Revelation calls him the lion of the tribe of Judah. So think about it. From Genesis to Revelation. The first book from Alpha to Omega. The beginning to the end. You'll know the Messiah when you know he comes out of the tribe of Judah. And he'll be the lion of the tribe of Judah. Number 3, he's to inherit the throne of David. You see, David wanted to build a God a new house. And God said to him, not so fast. Not so fast. I am going to build you a house. You're not going to build me one. I'm going to build you a house. Where's that in the Bible? That is in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 17, that the Messiah would be of the offspring of King David. There's, if you're counting, 3 things that someone fulfilled written about him before he was born. We are now up to the same odds of you winning Powerball every Saturday night of your adult life from 18 to 84 years old. Don't you think after 20 years, the state would get tired of seeing you on Monday morning? What thinkest thou? That's the odds of one person fulfilling 3 things that are written about him before it happened. For one person to be batting 3 for 3. Number 4. The Bible said that he was going to come 483 years after the restoration of Jerusalem and the temple. You can read that in the Old Testament prophet Daniel, chapter 9, verse 25, where God said that after the command would be given to restore and build Jerusalem, count to the day 483 years, and that's when the Messiah will be there. The command was given by King Artaxerxes, March the 5th, 444 B.C. Get out your slide rule, and you come to April 29th, 33 A.D. To the day they predicted, the day that the Messiah would be here. That's number 4. Number 5, the Bible says he'd be born of a virgin. Not young woman, like some Bibles say, born of a virgin. How many people do you know have been born of a virgin? Only one, Jesus, prophesied about, as you see, Isaiah 7:14, fulfilled in Matthew 1:18. Number six, he was to be announced by a messenger from God. God told Malachi, actually through Malachi, "Behold, I will send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." All right, that's six. The odds of one person fulfilling four are 1 in 10 to the 27th power. I think that number is written out on the handout. Yeah. Them be a lot of zeros. Number seven, it says you'll know him when he appears in Galilee, spoken of in Isaiah chapter 9, fulfilled in Matthew 1:18. So Isaiah talked about it. 720 years later, it happened. Number eight, he would be a prophet like Moses. Moses talked about it. Moses said that there's going to come another prophet like me, him you will listen to. 1,500 years later, it happened. That's eight for eight. Number nine, the Messiah is going to enter Jerusalem. You will know the king when he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. That's how you'll know him. Prophecy given in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Fulfilled all four Gospels. I wrote down John 12, 12. Number 10, you'll know him when he's rejected by his own people. That's John 1, 11. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave them the power to become children of God. This is how you'll know the Messiah, when they spit in his eye. Number 11, you'll know the Messiah when his executioners divide his clothes. Let's look at that one. That one is in Psalm 22, verse 18. Let me read that to you. Psalm 22, verse 18. Now, this time, we're going 1,000 years before Jesus was born. David wrote this. If you want to be exact, it was around 970 B.C. Think about it. Who can remember what they ate for breakfast last Thursday? Who can remember what they ate for breakfast yesterday? 1,000 years before it happened. Psalm 22, verse 18. David, speaking prophetically in the Spirit, said, "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." That's number 10. No, actually, that's number 11. Number 12 says he will be pierced. Written in a couple places. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. They will mourn for him whom they have pierced. Also Psalm 22, 16. David wrote this. Now this was 500 years before they invented crucifixion. He said this. He says, "Dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." What an awesome prophecy that is. You see, these things were written for one reason and one reason alone, so that you will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The only reason there's prophecy in the Bible is so that you will recognize this banner right there is of a truth. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here today. That's why, as much as they try to wipe it off, this is why it's the year on the calendar. Even all time is named after him. Wow. He'd be pierced. Number 13, he would suffer innocently. Pontius Pilate said, "I find nothing wrong with this man." And that was the governor. Number 14, praise God, he's going to be resurrected after he died. Number 14, death won't have a hold on him. Who else can say that? Only Jesus. The prophecy was given, and as you see it right there, Psalm 16, verse 10. Now, Darren schooled me this morning on what it is to work for a funeral parlor and a graveyard. I had no idea the inner machinations of what happens there. And the things that you witnessed told me the story of when they had to transfer a grave from one place to another and what they saw when they opened it up. But with Jesus, you see, Psalm 16 says he will not allow his Holy One to see corruption. Meaning it's a prophecy that he is nothing is going to happen to him in the grave. Praise God. God raised him up on the third day. That was Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Is that tomb be empty? Ain't nobody there. He did not allow his Holy One to see corruption. That's why there was no corruption, because there was an empty tomb there. Praise God. That's what I wanted to look at here this morning. How did I do for time, all right? The odds of fulfilling three things, like I said, you'd be a very rich man. Four things, 1 in 10 to the 27th power. God has given you a list here of 14 things. And what I wrote down on here after that is there is no such thing as an agnostic. You can't be. The evidence is all right here. These things were written down. You see, the Lord showed me 4 or 5 years ago, the last time I tried to preach the Christmas story. And God said to me, not audibly, but he impressed in me that he is much more concerned with you being concerned about his return than he is about his birth. He didn't so much care about Christmas. Am I right? Isn't that what your bags were for? What'd you get up here last week and say in front of this church? He's not concerned about Christmas. He's concerned about you being ready for his return. And I'll leave you with one verse, and we're going to continue singing some songs here, and that is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. It says this. It says, he's coming a second time, apart from sin, to all of you that look for him. Christmas Eve, man, this was it for me as a kid. There was two great anticipations in my life. The night of July 3rd, when I couldn't wait to sniff all of that dynamite in the air on the next night. I love that smell of fireworks. Oh, the smell. And Christmas Eve. The anticipation of Christmas Eve blew me away as a kid. And now God says to you tonight, year of our Lord, 2021, is that anticipation is what he is looking for in you. He's coming again. A second time. Apart from sin. And he's coming to a particular group. All of you and this old boy that look for him. Are you looking for his return? He's coming back soon. He gave you signs. We got 14 signs for his birth. He gave us signs for his return as well.
But they are, the whole world will be full of COVID. This is how you know he's coming back soon. When the whole world is full of what the Bible called pestilence, it's COVID. And it's not going away. That's another revelation God gave me the other day. A name for Jesus is the Omega. Isn't it funny? We're going in Greek letters here. We're at O. Next year will be the Greek letter pi. The year after that will be the Greek letter rho. The year after that will be the Greek letter sigma. And then when you come to omega, you've reached the end. There's nothing left after omega. There's nothing left. That's the end. Like Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last. Is your name in the book tonight? I don't read stories. I preach the gospel. Jesus wants to make sure your name is in the book. How's that? I hate these cameras. See, we have a good time in this church. It's the same as we can at memorial services for people that move on in this church. Because we know they're in a better place when you leave this world. The question is, if he comes back tonight, are you going to be in a better place when you leave this world? He's done all the work. All you have to do is many as received him, to them he's given them the authority. It's like a traffic cop saying, come on, I'm stopping evil over here. Over here is whoop. He's given you that authority. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. That's my Christmas message here this morning. If you're uncertain of that, let me know. We will pray together after the service, and we'll make certain. We'll make certain that your name is in the book.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Street shining, the ever. You're listening to WMIE Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.